If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Packaday Podcast. You can get all your Packaday updates by following us on Twitter at Packaday Podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And of course, you can always check us out at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm Kyle Fellows, and I'm joined by Maggie Loney and Andrew Mertzig. And we are here for a Wednesday show, just getting through draft season. Get to talk about what happened instead of hypothetically what might happen. We're really excited to be here for a show. How are you guys?
Yeah, doing well. It is interesting, right? Like, it's all this buildup into the draft and who we like and who we hope the Packers end up with. And then draft weekend seems to fly by really quickly. And now we're left with all of the evaluation and talking about who we really like from this class, maybe getting to know some prospects that we weren't familiar with before the whole draft process. And now, you know, it's kind of moving on. But I love these 2 weeks of really like taking the time to break down who the Packers got. And then that is going to lead us into what we do in June, which I think is pretty fun content in previewing the Packers opponents and their offseason moves. And then that gets us right into, you know, rookie mini camp and training camp and all of these other things that we spend a whole heck of a lot of time talking about. So it is exciting. That is a very long-winded introduction. How are you doing, Maggie?
I'm good. I was thinking about that, though. I noticed, like, as I was watching the draft, that I was a little more interested in possibly some of those opponents that are on the Packers schedule for this season. And we should be getting the schedule here, hopefully, in a couple weeks. I know that happens in May. We know, of course, the Packers are playing week one in Brazil against the Eagles. But outside of that, you know, the opponents and not where they're slated. So it was kind of fun to keep a closer look at some of those 2024 opponents and think about how those rosters are changing before Green Bay sees them.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. I feel like, I mean, every season is different, but it feels like there's a lot of anticipation going into the season with how things ended last year and where we feel like maybe this team is headed on an upper trajectory. The Packers did spend draft weekend doing Packers things. They did a lot of things that were expected that we would anticipate that they would do. They drafted a lot of really good athletes. They filled a lot of needs for this team, but they also did some things that had a lot of people scratching their heads or really surprised a lot of Packers fans. And so we're going to spend the show today really diving into what were some of the biggest shocks and surprises from this draft class. What surprised us the most as we took this on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of draft weekend. So let's jump in here. Andrew, what really had you shocked at what the Packers did over draft weekend?
Yeah, one surprise to me is not necessarily something the Packers did, but what they didn't do. And that was they didn't address wide receiver, tight end, defensive line, or specialists at all in this draft. And I know a lot of people assume Green Bay would avoid wide receiver with all the depth that they have at the position. But for an 11-player draft class to not have a single wide receiver, tight end, defensive line, or any specialist was an interesting strategy. Tight end doesn't appear to be a major need with all of the youth there, but they also didn't address any H-back type player. Defensive line looks to be a position of depth, except all the more of the like true nose tackle type players the Packers have on the roster have their contracts up at the end of the season. And we know there is some competition at kicker already, but I thought it showed some confidence in Daniel Whelan to not draft a punter. And they did perhaps get the favorite in the long snapper competition as a UDFA, but interesting that they didn't address that with one of their seventh round picks. So maybe the class isn't necessarily a shock. Maybe it's not a shock that Brian Gutekunst would attack positions of need with several draft picks, right? Like, this is really kind of becoming his MO. Safety is a need. He takes a billion safeties. Offensive line's a need. He takes a billion offensive linemen. But with a really deep class of picks, it was surprising so many positions went completely untouched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he did talk in his post-draft press conference that, like, they didn't get to address all the needs that they wanted to, which I thought was interesting because at one point they had, like you said, a billion, but like they had a billion more picks than they even spent, and they chose to move up at some times and then repeated drafting the same position that they'd already taken. So interesting their process there and what they thought was important. But I'm going to talk about something that surprised me in the first round. At pick 25, there were some really, really interesting factors into what I think the Packers did there. Obviously, the board, I think, fell really favorably to them with all the quarterbacks coming off the board as early as they did. I think Packer fans were getting pretty excited because that meant that more good players were going to be available and fall down the board. And I think the most surprising thing to me was Packers fans were convinced that Cooper DeJean and Graham Barton were both going to be off the board when the Packers got to pick 25. They were on the board. And so I think the question just sitting there as the commissioner came to the podium was like, which of those two guys are the Packers going to pick? Because they're clearly, you know, the two in consideration here. And then Jordan Morgan was the selection there at 25. And of course, DeJean didn't go until much later in the second round. And maybe the Packers correctly read that market for him. But I think, you know, the Duke offensive lineman was a player that I think everybody thought was going to be the selection there. But as Brian Gutekunst talked about that pick, they really view Jordan Morgan as someone who's going to play tackle for them, which really maybe informs that pick, right? Like, they probably weren't going to view Graham Barton as a tackle. So it makes a lot more sense when you phrase it like that. I really like Jordan Morgan, so I wasn't upset at the pick, but I was shocked because I just thought for sure it was going to be one of those two other players that seemingly fell into their lap when no one really thought it was going to be possible going into the draft.
Yeah, and I will say that's, you know, I think Packers fans have come to expect that, right? Where the move that a lot of fans want isn't necessarily what happens, right? We saw it last year when somebody had a lot of problems with Brian Gutekunst for not drafting a certain wide receiver and instead taking Lucas Van Ness. And we saw it again here, right? Like, Packers fans were like, oh, it's got to be DeJean. He's right there. And it was Jordan Morgan. So I do think that's, you know, just Goody's going to get his guy regardless of any outside noise or how players are potentially rated. But for me, I think one of the surprises was waiting until the seventh round for a corner. And they waited, right? Like, it was two picks before undrafted free agency. So, and I mean, I think when you have a prospect like Kalen King in the seventh, you know, that's potentially a huge hit for Green Bay, a ton of upside there when you're taking a player who was widely regarded as a first round pick after the 2022 season. But I also think it kind of illustrates the confidence that the Packers have in that room already with Alexander, Valentine, Nixon, Stokes, and Ballantyne. And they didn't necessarily feel like there was a need. And I think they must feel pretty strongly about Stokes' recovery there too, which Goody and Matt LaFleur did kind of address in their post-draft conferences. But That said, corner is just such a blue chip position, like edge, that I expected that to be a selection probably on like day two to kind of round out the room. I know at one point, you know, there was thoughts that Terrion Arnold would slide all the way to 25 before the Lions jumped up. So I thought that that was just a position that Goody might take a swing, but we did see him draft two safeties that can also play nickels. So, I mean, versatility, I think, kind of won out as the theme of this class.
Yeah, and I believe Andy was mentioning on the live day two Pack-A-Day podcast with Maggie and myself that Justice Mosquito was leading the charge of the Packers don't really need a cornerback. And I would say I was in that boat too. But as you mentioned, super premium position, and to have a Quinion Mitchell and a Terrion Arnold sliding down the draft board and be within striking distance where it's not going to cost you very much, right? Like, you probably are able to make that move for something like a fourth round pick, maybe, you know, a fourth and a sixth or something. It is interesting that that means that the Packers probably had Jordan Morgan equally or higher than the corners there, and they just thought that tackle is a bigger value. So maybe not the way that I saw things or you saw things, but is an interesting perspective on the way that Brian Gutekunst and company did see things as well. My second surprise of this draft was linebacker Tyron Hopper at pick 91. I think he is an intriguing prospect. I'm just a little shocked how high the Packers drafted him. I had Hopper at 167 overall, so that's a pretty significant reach compared to what I'm looking at, but well, my own rankings don't really mean anything. The consensus board also had Hopper much lower as well. And some players who went off the board right between Hopper at 91 and safety Evan Williams at 111 include linebacker Peyton Wilson. And yeah, he has a major injury problem. No ACL is a concern. And then safety Cameron Kitchens, you know, there's an athleticism concern there. But also safety Dadrian Taylor-Demerson went there, linebacker Cedric Gray. So I think there were players who were more talented with greater risk. So maybe the Packers weren't interested in that. But also some players who seem more talented without the risk. And specifically, I love Cedric Gray. And I thought he was a much more balanced prospect than what Hopper brings to the table. So I very well may be wrong about him as a prospect. I just think he would have been available later in the draft. And so that's one of my kind of surprises slash concerns, is just taking people ahead of where you may be able to get them a little bit later.
Yeah. So Hopper to me was one of the interesting picks in this class because the Packers took him at 91, as you're saying. I think what's so interesting is I love this draft class for the Packers. Like, I really think that they nailed I love the Jordan Morgan pick. A lot of people don't, but I love that. And I love what they did in the second round as well. I love the running back they got in the third. So this was the first pick that made me go, like, man, like, this one just felt a little bit out of left field. And the only reason that it hurts more is because they kind of held on to this pick to not move up earlier in the draft. And then they spent it on Hopper, who probably would have been available later in the draft. So it was like they guarded this resource and then they used it in a way that I feel like may have been a little bit, they may have misjudged when they needed to draft him. So that was disappointing because I felt like they could have used it to launch up a little bit, you know, maybe in the first round or something for another player. But it's hard to be upset when you like the players that they got earlier in the draft. But an interesting one there for sure. The first head scratcher that kind of made me go, what are we doing here? But let's talk about what the Packers did in that second round, because I thought this was another super interesting scenario, right? We all go to bed on Thursday night and we thought, okay, we were going to get Cooper DeJean, you know, in the first round. It didn't happen. And then we think, you know, he's going to go early. Like, he could have gone as early as like Buffalo at the very top of the draft. It kind of felt like, right? And then he just starts to fall like into the second round. And then you start to go like, maybe they have a chance. Like, maybe they'll trade up and get Cooper DeJean here. And then it looks like, okay, maybe they don't even have to trade up. Maybe he's going to fall right into their lap. Of course, DeJean goes right before the Packers have a chance to pick. We hear that they really weren't interested in making him the pick. They trade away from my other thought at this pick, Kool-Aid McKinstry. They give him to New Orleans. They slide back a couple spots, and they do draft their guy, of course, Edrin Cooper. The process there is very interesting to me. They had no interest in taking these other guys who were seemingly falling down the board. they seem to be very zeroed in on taking Edgerrin Cooper, but were not terrified that they were going to get jumped for him. So they were willing to trade back a couple spots, get a few picks later in this. So I just found the whole sequence really, really interesting that Goody had some scouts and some guys in that room who were saying, no, we're going to get our guy. We don't have to take him here. We can even slide back a little bit. Like, the guts it took to do that, and I think it worked out if you believe that they got their guy, it was really, really interesting. But I was surprised, given the ammunition they had, especially pick 91 that we just talked about, that they didn't move up from where they were at 41 to that very early beginning of day two.
Hey, friends. You may not know this because usually you hear me talking about the Packers 365 days a year, but I'm actually a massive, massive fan of the NBA playoffs. And while I've always enjoyed NBA basketball, it's been taken to an entirely different level as I've been utilizing Prize Picks to test my skills and add to that excitement level of the NBA playoffs. Prize Picks is the most fun that I have ever had, winning up to 100 times my money, and there's never been a better time to join the Prize Picks community. Did you know that there's over 5 million members that have already downloaded the app? 5 million! This playoff season, star players are in play in a significant way. Keep an eye out for star players on the board, and you could receive a 10% payout boost if they're in your winning lineup. This week, I'm going with Brooke Lopez, Paul George, and Jalen Brunson for rebounds, points, and assists, respectively. And I'm already geeking out about putting Caitlin Clark's three-pointers made stat line in my lineup when women's season tips off in just over a month. Basketball plus Prize Picks equals epic excitement. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. There is nothing quite like the thrill of live NBA playoff basketball this time of year. And if you haven't had the opportunity to catch a playoff game in person, let me just tell you, you are missing out. But you don't need to be. You could attend an NBA playoff game easily with the use of Game Time. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. And guess what? Prices actually go down the closer that you get to tip off. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, seat views, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes all the awful, frustrating aspects of purchasing tickets out of the equation, and they help you get the perfect tickets that you want. I'm on my Game Time app right now, scrolling through Bucks tickets for Game 5, and not only are there plenty of great seats available, but the deals are incredible, and I can literally click and purchase any number of amazing deals right now. The best thing about Game Time is definitely the ease of use, no question about it, but their lowest price guarantee and their cancellation protection have come in huge for me in the past and are two more of my favorite features. Let me just say it again. The last minute deals come in clutch every single time. You can save up to 60% by buying last minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy shows, and so much more. So get in on the action and take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, P-A-C-K-A-D-A-Y, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the takeaways that I had, right, was just Goody. And he told us, we had joked, you know, on the live show with Andy that Goody has foreshadowed everything that he's going to do this entire draft, and then he's done it. So he said, I love having picks. I would like to have more than 11 picks. And he ended up with 11 selections, but I thought for sure there was a possibility that he would trade some of that day three ammunition to move up again into day two and make three picks in that kind of soft spot. But, you know, I kind of echo what you guys are saying, where potentially the selections where they were made didn't make as much sense, but the products overall that they selected, the prospects, I was really happy with. And that's, I guess, going into my last point here. The Travis Glover pick, I think, was possibly the most surprising pick for me. And I don't have anything against the pick, and I thought that the Packers would take three offensive linemen. But Glover's metrics, to me, were a little bit surprising. You know, we know the Packers feel how they feel about agility testing in their offensive linemen, and He didn't test super well as far as his agility drills were concerned. And we've also historically seen Green Bay use kind of day three as those like big swings on really high relative athletic scores. Like they get the freak athletes who maybe need some development. And Glover didn't really kind of fit that mold for them. He had a 4.72 relative athletic score, scored a little better at guard, but it seems like he'll be playing swing tackle for the Packers as it stands right now. So I thought it was really cool that he was the first Georgia State player drafted by Green Bay. And listening to his interview seems like a really great kid. The Packers absolutely had like a type in this class, a lot of team captains, a lot of guys that played a ton of football, talking about a 5-year starter. But just given what they've historically looked at, you know, when it comes to day three prospects, I was a little bit surprised to see his thresholds and how they stood up. But I think it goes to show you how much they really valued him as a player and maybe not, you know, don't have concerns about the athlete when they saw him at the Senior Bowl, you know, against better competition and things in the way that he held up.
Okay, so Andrew and Maggie, I want to throw something out to you guys as a theory here just to like see what you guys think. But the Packers took Jordan Morgan maybe a little bit earlier than a lot of people would have expected, but not like more than maybe 5 to 10 slots at most, right? Edgerrin Cooper went middle second round, kind of where everybody thought he was going to go. Javon Bullard went mid to late second round where everybody thought he was going to go. Marshawn Lloyd goes third round, kind of where everybody thought he was going to go. We don't need to talk about Hopper in the end of the third round there. But third round, that, I mean, the Hopper pick is almost a fourth round pick. Like we're at the very tail end there, right? And then we get into day three. And this is my theory. I think the Packers, when they're assessing draft picks, kind of stay chalk with the board when they're players that everybody knows is good. I have a theory that the Packers feel like as players fall down the board and what appears to be value to everyone else, they kind of identify if the rest of the league is passing on these guys, then like everybody knows that there's some hole in their athletic profile or their prospect profile that makes the league think that they're probably not going to pan out. So they start to slip a little bit, right? And so the Packers, rather than taking shots on the guys who slip, just go to a different bucket and say, okay, these guys are long shots, but if they hit, then they're going to hit big. And so they probably, you know, they strike out a lot, but they're willing to take shots on guys that the rest of the league may not really think, you know, they're not on their radar. But rather than just trying after the players who are slipping, they value a different kind of player on day three. I just wanted to see what you guys thought, because it really felt like as we crossed from day two into day three, the Packers just got kind of random with their selections. And I was kind of wondering if you guys had any thoughts about why that might be.
Yeah, I my personal theory there is that, you know, first three rounds, they're going to be a little bit more closer to consensus. People can argue about Jordan Morgan all they want. He was going to get picked if the Packers didn't do it, probably before the end of the first round. I think they take guys that meet their athletic profiles and that they really like on day one and two, and they start to get into late round three, round four. And I think Goody is just letting his scouts tell him what kind of pet projects he wants, or maybe it's the coaching staff. I don't know. Yeah. But like they get really ultra specific skill sets. Like Hopper is this like kind of nickel linebacker. He's a really aggressive guy. He's got like Jeff Hafley written all over him.
Right.
But like consensus wise, that doesn't make any sense to me. And it gives me flashbacks to like Kyrie Thornton. Like somebody was banging the table for Kyrie Thornton in the third round. Yeah. And it was like nobody's ever heard of this guy. And yet the Packers feel like he's going to be a developmental defense lineman. And I feel like it's the same thing. Now maybe these guys turn in really valuable producers, maybe they don't. I have no idea. It's just like these are players. Hopper, I'm gonna say Hooper the rest.
I know.
Of Hopper, I had a really low grade on, like 6th, 7th round. I had never even heard of Evan Williams. I missed him at the Senior Bowl apparently. So yeah, I mean, it seems to me like they're like project-y. Like maybe the coordinators are saying. Or position coaches are saying players they like.
So Sorry. Let me hop back in here, and I don't want to cut you off, Maggie, if you have something you want to, but let me finish filling out my theory here, okay? Because they kind of seem to do that, right? But then at the very end of the draft, right, we take this year Michael Pratt, who a lot of people thought like could go like maybe late day two, but probably like early day three, like that fourth round, right? They get him in the seventh, and then they take Kalen King, who a lot of people like last year, right? He was a much more highly thought of prospect. And so then they kind of go back to like, who are the players who then slipped all the way through this process that maybe we should take a shot on? A couple of years ago, Rashid Walker, they get him in the seventh round. They got Carrington Valentine really, really late. Another player who a lot of people thought would go earlier than he went. So it's almost like at the very end of the draft, they say, okay, now we'll take the players that we feel like are worth taking a shot on that everybody has passed on. But kind of in that middle zone, they are like, yeah, we don't really care. We're just going to take the guys that we want to take, and we don't care at all about consensus boards at all.
Well, and I think, like, to your point about maybe the coaches have a bug in Goody's ear, I think there's some truth to that, right? Because we saw in the 2020 draft, A.J. Dillon go in the second round, and he was projected to be like a late day two, early day three guy. Josiah DeGuara was supposed to be like a mid day three, potentially early day three kind of guy. He goes in the third. And what did we all say? Like, hey, we don't really understand these being second and third picks, but boy, will they fit exactly what we think Matt LaFleur wants to do. So that felt like a draft that was just like, here, Matt, go nuts. Yeah. And I think, you know, we're kind of seeing more of a marriage between like the GM and the scouts and the coaching staff and what they like. And I do think like and to Andrew's point, I think Hopper is absolutely like a Halfley Nickel to a T if he could have drawn up kind of a premier inside linebacker, and Cooper too. But Cooper was more of an expected selection, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think Jacob Monk like screams Packer on day three. I think he's got a chance to come in and be really good right away, like Zach Tom kind of territory. But then to your point, yeah, I think it's really interesting that the Packers kind of sit, and in the seventh round, it's kind of like, hey, we don't want to let these guys get to undrafted free agency. We don't want to let them pick their destinations. So we're going to pick it for them before they hit the market.
Yeah, I think you can go all the way back to 2020. Jonathan Garvin, guy who slid way down the draft board. Kylan Hill in 21, guy that slid way down the draft board. Rashid Walker in 22. I think you could maybe make the same argument for Jonathan Ford and Samari Toure as well. And then last year, Anthony Johnson was a guy that we felt like slid way down the draft board, getting in the seventh round. Grant DuBose, same thing. Now that you mention it, it is something that consistently I have these seventh round players rated really high on my board, and they've slid for some reason, and then the Packers seem to scoop them up. So maybe that late draft capital is being saved for some of those sliders, and they're like, well, it's not going to matter if they don't pan out, so we may as well get, you know, these guys who had great prior years.
Yeah. Just fascinating that they seem to be very interested in grabbing the sliders in the seventh round and have no interest in that same process in like those fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds. So I think we'll continue to learn more as we get more and more Brian Gutekunst draft classes of, you know, why and how they do things. But they seem to value those middle rounds very differently and seem to use those to target players they want regardless of perceived value. It's just interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So Kyle coming in strong with conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Love it. But that is all the time that we have for today. This has been the Packaday Podcast. You can find Kyle on Twitter at @Packer_pundit. You can find Maggie at Maggie J. Loney. And also make sure you check out Packs What She Said. And you can find me at Andrew Mertig. Please subscribe and rate the podcast if you like what we've been doing through draft season. You want to continue to be a part of it. That really helps out what we're doing. You can catch Kyle, Maggie, and myself for the next few Wednesdays before our return to the regular Packaday schedule. And next week, we will be back on Wednesday with more off-season conversation. Thanks for listening. And as always, remember... Go, hey, go!
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.